Amen. Lord, we just thank you for this day and just thankful that we can come together and worship you and just praise your holy name and just join together and just in one mind, Lord, and just give thanks to you. I pray you just move among us this morning and be our teacher, speak to us and touch us in a way you've never touched us before. Open our minds in a different way that you've never opened before. Just give us great insight into you. So we just pray, just come, Lord Jesus, come. And Lord, I pray you just anoint me. I just speak the words of the Spirit, and every heart will be open to receive of the Spirit. So we give this time to you and pray of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The title this morning, The Sweet Smell of Jesus. The sweet smell of Jesus. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory, and through us spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. You know, we always come together in the church, rightly so, and to praise God and offer up praises. I was talking to one pastor, one pastor, and said they wouldn't play any praise music in their church unless it honored God. If it didn't totally honor God, they wouldn't praise it. Like if it was a good song and didn't totally, you know, just kind of didn't agree with where he was coming from. And this morning I think we'll kind of see why. Because what I want to look at this morning is different. We praise God, but what I want to look at is that how God looks at us. Because this morning, when God looks down, what does he see when he sees us? He says, what do you see is people praising him, and he wants the praise and stuff. All that's true, but there's something else going down. What does he think of me and you when he looks down? You know, some of us may say, oh my God, I hope he didn't see that, you know, or something. But he has an opinion of us. He has a thought about us. You know, he thinks about us. He thinks about us. Now, I used our verse here, I used the Amplified version of the Bible because it is a amplification of God's view of us. Okay, it's really, I think, does a good job of amplifying how God views us and what he thinks about us. Now, last week, you know, talking about what God's done is we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. But we learned last week in chapter 1 that once we trusted Jesus, God establishes us, God anoints us, God seals us, and God gives us the Holy Spirit. That's what he did for us. Okay, he sees, and so he did that for us. And now, as we learned last week, now we are his possession. So now he looks at us different as his possession. We are his possession. We are his possession. And what this verse tells us is that God leads us in triumph as trophies, as the sweet smell of Jesus and Jesus' victory. So he leads us as trophies. Now we're his trophies, that he leads us in procession. So that's what he's looking at. That's how he looks at us now at this time. Now, when we see this, you're thinking, okay, this is a little different twist. He's leading us as his trophies. He's honoring us. Now, God clearly states why he leads us in triumph as his trophies. Now, he's going to tell us, okay? So it's not a small thing. So we need to pay attention, all right? Next verse. And I'm just going to read the first half of it. Next verse. 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ. We are to God the pleasing aroma to Christ. Now, isn't that kind of a shift with them, way our thinking? I mean, and that's the title, To God, We Smell Like Jesus. Might be a little more, a better way to put that. But no, to God, we smell like Jesus. We're aroma of Christ to God. That's how He looks at us. God is pleased with us. We are an aroma to God, and He is pleased with us. And so in this world, we are an aroma to God in this world. We smell like Christ to God and people around us. Now, as we go through this, it's very interesting in trying to process, and God does this, all the time. He will try to give us pictures and stuff so that we can understand what His total meaning, because we can't comprehend the infinite. So He gives us physical pictures so we can see. And if you will, a good physical picture of us as His people, in God's position of us and how He deals with us, His people, in all of the heavenlies and all of the earth, it's like you would come up beside God and it would be like, you when you were in grade school, I guess they used to have show and tell. I remember that. Some kid would bring up something, they'd show and tell about it, Well, in heaven, when we come to know Christ, what God does is He plays show and tell with us. He plays show and tell with us. He shows us to all the heavenly beings and to everyone on earth, says, look, this is My Son and this is My daughter. This is My Son and My daughter. I am so proud of them. They smell so good. They smell just like Jesus. And He's proud, so He plays show and tell with us. And the Bible says this, to the whole spiritual world. It talks about in the Bible how much Satan, hates us. We'd all go, oh, he's got to hate this show and tell time. He said, look at these people. This is the ones I love. This is show and tell. He's pleased with us. Okay? Everybody goes, amen. Amen. Now, plus there's something else that we forget, that this is how God is operating with us. Like you said, He's already established us. We learn, He's already anointed us. He's already sealed us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. And it's like, now He's showing us off. He's showing us off. And that's what this verse says. Now I'm going to read the first part of 2 Corinthians 2:15. I'm just going to read the first half of it. 2 Corinthians 2:15. Again, for we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ. We are the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Now that's what God's doing. Look at My sons and daughters. The heavenly, it says that a verse that fascinates me, and it says the angels desire to look upon God's people. Because they're going, they don't know what's happening. They're not like us. They didn't come like us. They didn't come to salvation like us. They were just created like that. And we've made decisions for Christ. And said they're looking upon it and curious at how this works out. And God's showing them. And He's showing what works out. But He also is saying, I'm also, you smell like Jesus on the earth. On the earth. I'm using you. I'm showing you off on the earth. We are an aroma to Christ among everyone who was saved, right? Somehow, God used us, communicate us, and as we interact with one another, there's an element that there's an aroma of Christ among us. Then it says, we also are an aroma, sweet smell of Christ to the unsaved. Now, it's interesting. We are a pleasing aroma to Christ. We're a pleasing aroma of Christ to God. But we're also the pleasing aroma to people on this earth. However, there are different reactions. There's different reactions, but everybody smells us. All right? Everybody. It's like, well, they reacted like that. Why? Because you smell like Jesus. Now, I can't get, you know, when I think about this, how, and I'm thinking about you like physical pictures. It's like when you walk and you're around someone, maybe you're around someone who hadn't bathed in about a month. Okay? There's an aroma. They don't have to say nothing. But you just know they hadn't bathed in a month. Okay? And it's, well, why are you saying that? Because in an element, are you saying somebody just took a bath and they're clean and they put aftershave or deodorant when they come, they smell good. They don't have to say anything. Well, that's kind of the example that what Jesus has given us here. You've come to me, okay? He says, you come to me. God says, you come to me. You smell like Jesus. You smell like Jesus. And what happens is that even the people that don't know Jesus, you smell like Jesus. Okay? And so look at this verse. Look at this verse. So God isn't now saying, God has tied this all together. He tied this together that there's something within us that we are an aroma of Him in this world. And He's happy about this. Remember, He's playing show and tell with us. He's playing show and tell with us. Look, if you will, now at 2 Corinthians 2:16. Fascinating. To the one we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And then he adds, I love this next sentence. And he goes, and who is equal to such a task? Oh my gosh. I mean, that's what we are. And it's like, we're going, well, who's equal to such a task? So what we have here, now, be perfectly honest, I can't get my arms totally around this whole thing as I think about it. And I think this is one reason that the Lord gives us an example like this. He's trying to help us understand what's happening in the heavenlies, what spiritually is happening all around us. And he says, if you can grasp this, then you're going to understand what I'm doing spiritually. You smell like Jesus. And you can't unsmell yourself. You smell like Jesus. And so when we look at this, this tells us, I just use an example. I could use the sweet smelling, but you would know the odor. Like somebody hadn't bathed in a month, you know. They come up. How many people that they encounter smell them? One, two, three people smell them, they encounter. No, if they meet 100 people, everybody smells them. Everybody knows. How's that happen? How's that? But this is what the Lord is telling us here. It says, you impact everybody you are around. And if you smell like Jesus, you impact everybody you are around. Even if you don't say anything, you just smell like Him. You're different. And He wants you to be different. The sweet smell of Jesus somehow covers us. In God's eyes, the sweet smell of Jesus covers us. And He's playing show and tell. He says, look at my sons and daughters. Okay, look at it. He plays shows and tell to everyone. Some people that the sweet smell of Jesus will remind them that they're living independent of God. They don't smell like us. But the smell is good. But they want to live independent of God. And this smell reminds them that they're living independent of God. You ever wonder, isn't it fascinating, you have all these religions, and generally, this is generalization, and nobody persecutes them, but they persecute Christians. Why? Because every time we talk to somebody, we convict them that we smell good and they're missing something. It's a conviction. Our smelling good convicts them. Convicts them. And that's the reason Christianity is so different. It's so different. It's of knowing a person. The smell of Jesus covers us. Now, to some people, the smell of Jesus will penetrate their hearts and draw them to eternal life. To eternal life. I've been with people, and I know this has happened to you. You'd be with people, and they will recognize and want to talk about or certain things. I won't say on a spiritual nature, but on a good nature. Why? And even, you know, it's like somebody that has real foul language sometimes come up and, you know, say something. Sorry, excuse me. You know, why? There's something happening. There's a covering, there's a spiritual evidence of God within our life that we smell like Jesus. Lynn and I went to this restaurant one time, and this lady came, she owned the restaurant, and she came, she stood by us, and they ordered, she came over, and then she talked to us how to order, and said, fine, and then she sat there talking, and after a while, you know, she didn't leave. It's like, you know, it's, all right, you know, food's getting cold. And she goes, I don't know why, it just feels good to stand here. Now, that's a reality. That is a reality. Now, not everybody's going to say that. Not everybody's going to say that. And sometimes it'll be an irritation to people. But it's like, no, it just feels good to stand here. Why? Something smells good besides her food, which was getting cold. But anyway, we had to. But you see what I'm saying? But what? And the reason I'm just taking so much time, Jesus is saying this. He is trying to tell us what's happening. You know, it's like, oh my God, we're going to go see so and so, and I don't know what. They don't know Jesus. I don't know what to say, and what are we going to do, and how do we approach this? And God goes, don't worry about it. Just go and enjoy your meal, and they're going to smell who you are. They're going to smell it. And don't be surprised they don't ask you a question. Don't be responsible. They're going to say something to you. Don't be responsible that I don't open it. Don't be surprised if I don't open the door, because you're going to smell like Jesus. You're sitting there. You see? Well, they still acted crazy, so they still smell Jesus. Don't try to predict what they're going to do. I'm telling you what's happening with a Jew every single time. Now, that's what it says here. Every single time. So it's more like, hey, you know, I smell like Jesus. I'll just have my eyes open and see where this goes. I have an opportunity, then that's fine. If I don't have an opportunity, that's fine. But God is show and tell to the world, okay? And we're going to watch him work. We're going to watch him work. But you kind of have to walk with Jesus and have a mental mindset that God is working in these things. Because we as Christians have a secular mindset that we've always, so if we don't get this done, it's not going to get done. You know, well, that puts pressure on us. Oh, my God, I should have talked to them, and they walked by, and I didn't say anything. You know, God's disappointed. God said, I'm not disappointed. If they got close enough, they smelled me. They can't help it. They smelled me. And so here's the whole thing. So when God looks down from heaven, when he looks at the world, just know that's what he sees. How many of you think, okay, I did this, and God, he's looking on me, and I've disappointed him, and I should be praising him. I didn't do this. I didn't have time. And God's going, don't do that. I look at you. I'm playing show and tell, and I'm doing the show and tell, and you, because you trusted me, you just smell good. You just smell good. You just work your life listening to me, doing what I tell you to do, and I'll take care of everything, and I'll touch everybody who needs to be touched. Amen? Okay, that's what it's saying. That's what it's saying. When you're talking about, and I think that's the reason the Lord uses aroma and a fragrance. You know, because if it left up to us, if it was something to do, we'd try to figure out how to do it. But when he goes, smell good, and says, I don't know how to make myself smell good to somebody else, you know. But, you know, I can back them in a corner and give them a few verses. Because now I don't want you to do that. I want you to smell good. It's my people. I want you to smell good. Now, again, backing up to chapter 1, how did he do that? He established us. He anointed us. He sealed us. He gave us the Holy Spirit. Now smell good. Now smell good. All right? And I'm playing show and tell. I'll put you where you're supposed to be. I'll put you. Anyway, it's a whole different dynamic. Now, if we have any concept of what we say, we should say this last verse, you know, and which is like, gosh, who is up to such a task as this? Like, who can do something like this? Who is equal to this task? I mean, wouldn't you think that? Who is equal to this task? And so that was the last verse. We go, who is equal to this task? So that's a good question. The question is very, very appropriate. Now, I'm going to shift gears. We understand that God, we have an aroma of Christ. He gave us the aroma when we accepted Christ. Now, I want to touch on, why did he choose us in the first place? This is a believer. He said, this is the truth. He's just telling us it's the truth. But why did he choose us? Why did he choose us? You ready for this? Why did God choose us? Look at 1 Corinthians 1:26. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. That's who he picked. I think I'd pick better people to smell good. But this is who he picked. So just look at your situation. All who call upon Jesus will be saved. Everybody that calls upon Jesus will be saved. No doubt. But evidently, when I look at this, it seems like God's priority is not the wise and the powerful. I mean, when he's looking for people to save and going to touch, it's not the wise and powerful that his priority. Did you ever want, this guy is X, Y, Z, and why didn't God touch him? And he could change the whole company. He could change the whole country. He could change everything. Pick him. How many times does God pick him? Never. Never. Doesn't pick him. Now, he'll use people. He used Pharaoh. And you know what the Bible says about Pharaoh? This is now. He says, I chose him for this very purpose, to show my power. I'm thinking, well, poor Pharaoh. I mean, what a poor guy. I mean, couldn't he just kind of share Jesus with him or something? He could have helped things out. You would, a lot of, you know, they, you know, wouldn't have to kill all the firstborn or anything like that. He said, no, that's not how it worked. I chose Pharaoh to show my power. So God can use people now, but he uses us different. I don't think Pharaoh had a good aroma to God. To God. Now, see, we smell good. Pharaoh, he did not so hot. He didn't smell so good. So we see this. So he doesn't choose those people. I mean, just think. He does. Now, there are few people that have noble birth, you might say, because nobody's exempt, anybody except Christ, you know, or high position. So there are a few people. I knew a guy that was, it's funny being around somebody that's absolutely brilliant, you know, and it's those that are just absolutely brilliant, they know they're brilliant. I mean, they're not faking, and it's brilliant, it's, you know. I mean, the guy was valedictorian at UVA. He goes, yeah. It wasn't hard. And he actually said to me, and it wasn't arrogant. He said, yeah. And he believed this verse totally. Totally. He said, yeah. He said, I'm one of the few. I couldn't argue with him. I mean, he believed Jesus, and he way smarter than I was. But anyway, he said, I was one of the few. Anyway, so the point of it is, but that's not the norm. Why not? And what God tells us here was, well, anybody, and that's true, anybody true. But God tells us something here. He said, not many of you, and it will not be many of you. Revivals around the world, they predict. They're grassroots. He touches people he wants. Not the noble, not the wise. Okay, that's not. Why would God choose regular people, flawed people like me and you, to show us off as trophies in his triumphal procession? Why, God, why are you doing that? Why would you do that? To choose me as a trophy and to put me in his triumphal procession. Why? I don't understand why. You know, so we won't make this personal. And I know all of you are thinking, I don't know why he picked you either. But he does. He touches people. Well, love the scripture because it tells us why. It tells us why. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:27-29. Now we need to take this to heart because it helps us understand how many times we walk through the Christian life and say, I don't understand. I don't. He said, I'll tell you because I'm doing something that's bigger than you. Okay, this is why God picked me and you. Now, I'm sure there's some in here just as smart as this other guy's talking about. I don't mean to downgrade anyone's intelligence. I'm just trying to bring everybody down to my level. Anyway, so right here, why would he pick flawed people? Why would he pick you and me, flawed people, to show us off as trophies? If he's going to show us off as trophy, why not pick a king? Why not pick a CEO? Why not pick, I mean, then you really show, but that's not what he does. Not that those people can't come to know Christ. Okay, we just read through this. 1 Corinthians 1:27-29. So it's but, okay, it's but from the last verse. Not many of you are noble and wise. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. That's who I choose. That's why I chose you. That's why I chose you. 29. So that. There's a reason. Big word. This is the reason I chose you. So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. I don't want anybody to say, I earned this. Oh, you can use me. No. No. This gentleman, I said, and it really, he was not arrogant about that. He totally recognized he's totally dependent on God, had nothing to offer to God. Totally convinced, solid believer. But there it is. That's why he chose us, to show us off as trophies. He chose us so he could say, look at what I did. Look at what I did. And everybody in heaven and on earth is amazed at what God did. So I meant to put this up as overhead. I don't think I did, but I'm just read it, the summary of what this said. God doesn't want any boasting. He don't want any boasting. Therefore, God chose us to show his work in power. It's like, I know he won't boast because he didn't have nothing to boast about. I know he's not going to boast, but he didn't have any power. He don't have anything to boast about. Everybody knows he doesn't have anything to boast about. So I'm going to choose him. I'm going to release my power through him. And when he or her is doing what I say, they're going to look and they're going to see me because they smell like Jesus. They smell like Jesus. They don't see people, the flesh in that. They just smell Jesus in them. And they're in awe. Lost people are in awe. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. See, God chose the foolish to shame the wise. God chose the weak to shame the strong. God chose the despised to bring others to nothing. Why? Why? I mean, if I was doing this, did God ever ask you, say, if you were doing this, what would you do? You know? If I was doing this, I'm saying, you know, that guy thinks he's so smart. I'd just show him how dumb he is. No, I just wouldn't pick somebody that's not very wise and do something wise to him so they'd be impressed. No, I'm a lot more vindictive. You know, hey, we'll show this guy. That's not how God works. That's not how he works. Now, he deals with everyone, but that's not how he works, and that's not how he's using the church. He thinks he's so strong. I'll just show him. I get to, you know, that he's not strong, and I'll deal with him. No. That's not what he's going to do. He's going to choose someone weak and exalt him, the shame, the strong. And then you know what happens? Now, this is what happens. And then people look at the weak, the shame, the strong, and he said, that guy couldn't do that. It must be God. It must be the Lord. I just praise Jesus. See, he wants the praise. So he picks the weak. He picks the weak so he can show his power through the weak. And then when the powerful are strong, the weak give praise to God and the people around him give praise to God. How many of you said, how is God working? What is God working? He's telling us. And he doesn't work like the world does. And he does, and this that verse in 29, those two words, we talked about this last week. He gives us all this information, but then he puts those two words there, which are in the original. These two words. Here's the information. And this is why are you doing it? He goes, so that. See? I'm telling you, so that. What's the so that? That no human being will boast in the presence of God. Boast in the presence. I mean, we'll say this to like the super spiritual. You know, you read about it like this. God used me and God did this and God. And it's like, gosh, you don't like a so, don't sound like a so that to me. You kind of sound like somebody just really full of yourself to me. You know, and so he does this thing so that no one will boast in the presence of God. Boast to God. So, what would the next verse be? What would the next verse be? I just think it's so encouraging to read the Bible. You will not be as confused. You may not like some of it, but you won't be confused. You won't be confused. I want you to guess what the next verse is. Just look at 1 Corinthians 1:31. Next verse, other verse. Why? Why? So that. Yeah, that's a stinking word again. So that, as it's written, let the ones who boast, boast in the Lord. You know, God is almost, it's funny, and we sing and praise him, you know, and we should, and I'm wonderful, and he says to do that, but you know, he will do something that you will boast in him. He said, because you won't have anything else to stand on. You won't have anything. If you think you got something to stand on because I love you, I'm going to move it. And so you have nothing, and that, dear God, help me. And then when you're helped, say, dear God, did I give thanks to God? Okay. I knew it, do it, because you can only boast in me. That's where the blessing comes from, it boasts in me, not in yourself. That's the reason I picked you in the first place, because you didn't have anything to boast about. So why are you doing it? Now, so God wants people, his possession, the ones that smell of Jesus, to trust solely in him and him alone. We are his possession, relying on his power alone. It's incredible, the more you read scripture, how much emphasis God puts on us. Now, he says, don't work, you don't eat, you know, he tells us all sorts of, but as far as dependence, it's we depend on him totally. As far as vision, we depend on him totally. So we totally rely on him, you know, and if we rely on anything else, he calls it, he has a name for it, he calls it an idol. Just calls it an idol. Oh, in the Old Testament, well, I'd never do that. He goes, well, you depended on yourself, that's your idol. That's your idol. See, and he actually tells us that. He actually tells us that. So, we go on here. Now, skipping around a little bit on you, going ahead. See, we are for God's glory. You see what I'm saying? How he looks at us. He is our glory. Praise, you know. But what he says is, you know, we are God's glory. We are God's glories as trophies of Christ based on Christ's work at the cross. We are God's trophies. Therefore, God shows us off to the world. Look at 1 Corinthians 3:16. It's like you want to underline these first four words and put them explanation point, but look at 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know? Do you not know? I always think about what you're thinking. Yeah. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? I want to show you off. I want to show you're the temple and my Spirit dwells in. Look at them. These people smell like Jesus. Look at them. Look what I do with them. What do these people do? Well, we are showed they don't have any physical abilities. That's not why he showed them. They're not very wise. They're not noble. They don't have any standing whatsoever. But they're his temple with the Holy Spirit in them, and they're accomplishing great things for God. I'm using him, and they're totally trusting in me. Their quality is that they're totally trusting in me. That's the quality. The Apostle Paul that just came to mind, he in Romans 15, and he goes, I will not boast of anything. And he uses the word, I will not boast of anything except what Christ did through me. He understood. He understood. Well, how could I be like the Apostle Paul, and God was pleased to him, be like him and don't do anything except what Jesus does through you? Who can do that? Well, first of all, the whole bunch of people that God gets, all the weak ones, because they can't do anything anyway. So if they do anything, it's going to have to be Christ in them. And, so, and I'm going to be excited about it because I did it and they're praising me. Doesn't it all make sense? See, he's tickled to death with us. He's showing us off. He's just telling them, I just love you the way you are. You just smell so good. Everybody else can smell you. It's just quit trying to do stuff on your own. You know, because you got everything you need. I'm showing you off. God doesn't want his people to boast about anyone else, depend on anything else, or covet any of the world's pleasures, because God is our all in all, our Savior, our provider, our reason for existence. You think, why do we exist? Jesus is our reason for existence. God's people have an exalted position in His sight. All God's people. Now listen to this verse. Okay, now just grab this and listen to it. We agree with that. Now listen to what God says to us. Now we have to work it out by depending on God, you know, trusting and doing what He says. It's a growth process. But look at His summation. I mean, when I read this, you go, no. If anybody wrote it but God, I would say, no. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 3, 21 through 23. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Go ahead, tell me. Go ahead, tell me. No, they're not mine. Well, God just said they're all yours. He just said everything, but you don't know. I got that. You don't know, God. You don't know. You got that. You know what it's like. Well, I picked you because you weren't wise and you're weak. So what's any different now? You couldn't do it before. You sure can't do it now. See? Apostle Paul, I boast in nothing except what Christ does through me. See? And then the Apostle Paul actually wrote this, 1 Corinthians 3. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. The world, our life, our death, our present, our future are all yours. It is. Now, I mean, I could take me back yesterday, and I complained about a few things that weren't going to happen or mine. And I'd already written this. So I'm a perfect picture of disobedience on what God says, because it says all things are yours. Everything. I mean, He tries to cover everything. The world, life, death, present, future. Well, what else, God? I mean, He's trying to cover everything. He goes, all are yours. And then He throws this in. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. God, prove it to me. Look at my son and daughter. Look at my son and daughter. Look, they trust me. They trust me. They smell like Jesus. They smell like Jesus. I think the Apostle Paul smelled like Jesus. You know, I boast on anything except what Christ accomplished through me. I'm not going to do it. And then he also said this. I mean, just think how Paul's talking in here and what God's saying. What he's saying. I don't boast about anything except what Christ does through me. Then he also said in Philippians 4:19, he boldly says, see, my God will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ. I don't boast about anything except what Christ accomplished to me, because He supplies everything. All things are yours. Everything. Everything. Let's summarize. How do you get there from here? The sweet smell of Jesus. That's how you get there. The sweet smell of Jesus. I'm going to say something, and it's been coming to my mind. I said, no, it's too much. It just keeps coming to mind, so I'm going to say it. Anyway, I'm going to tie this to the Old Testament. So you have this thing where there's a sweet smell of Jesus, okay? And so God, I mean, it says to God, God loves the way we smell. Then He says, you're the sweet smell of Jesus to the whole world. And the reason you got that way is because you depend on me, and you don't boast about anything except what Christ does through you. And all things are yours. Oh, they smell so sweet. Look at it. He shows us off because we do that, because we believe that. Go back to Leviticus. How many of you hate Leviticus? Oh, there's a sacrifice. Thing. Oh, my God. You know, here's something in Leviticus. And I think the sacrifice was a sin sacrifice. I might be wrong. But one of the things they did, they would take the lamb, cut the lamb's throat, and they'd burn the lamb on the altar. You've read that, okay? The whole thing in that sacrifice. Now, we know in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians, it says, our Passover lamb was slain. So we know the lamb is Jesus. The lamb is Jesus. Okay, so they killed the lamb like Jesus was crucified. So they burned this lamb up and the smoke. All this gross, the blood, dead lamb, burned it up, and the smoke's going up. Do you know what it says? All the smoke goes up. Now listen, and it says, it was a sweet aroma to God. Well, that's gross. Now, that's kind of a twisted God, isn't it? What'd he smell? What'd he smell? He smelled the work of Christ. That's what he smelled. He is sweet smelling, just like we just read. And it was a smell of Christ, and it was smell of all the people coming to know God through Christ. Oh, he's smelling it. He's smelling it. Leviticus. That's where it started in Leviticus. And this is what it looks like. It's a physical picture in that smell. And God said, what a sweet aroma. I can smell Jesus, and I can smell all the people coming to him. A wonderful smell. And then he tells us, you are that aroma of Christ in Leviticus. That's also a little push. Read the whole Bible. Read the whole Bible. I'd read Leviticus. Because Jesus is just blowing out in Leviticus. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, you got to be kidding me. As soon as Jesus enters into Leviticus, that little lamb, that wasn't a lamb. That was Jesus. They burnt Jesus. You know? Then you start looking at that. They cut his throat. They drained the blood. They talk about Jesus. The blood poured out of his side. Well, that was Jesus. It was all in Leviticus. All in Leviticus. You got to read it. So we all come down to this. We all come down to this. And we can understand why Paul said something fascinating. It's a verse we've heard a bunch of times. So we'll close on this. As God's people, we're the sweet smell of Jesus, his trophy. So we can just keep it simple. Because it's all tied in this one verse. Everything's tied in this one verse. Now, we know, so we kind of pulled some things together, but it's all tied in this one verse. The church, 1 Corinthians 2:2. Paul said, now he doesn't boast. Remember, Paul doesn't boast. He says, I'm not boasting about anything except what Christ does in me. And so Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ. And him crucified. See? And people who come to risk, God goes, look at them. Look at my son and daughter. They smell good. I'm playing show and tell. With my people. And the only power that they have is me. That's it. It's me. They have nothing but me. And therefore, I'll do things through them. Because they have nothing but me. See, I decided to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that's what God was smelling in Leviticus. That's Jesus Christ and him crucified. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you. You've put more than we can imagine in the Scriptures. And you're trying to tell us, you use the aroma and fragrance just so that we can understand the sweet smell of Jesus, what Jesus has done, something that we can, our mind can grasp hold of to understand the mighty work of God. And God, we thank you as you try to explain all this to us, Lord, that we can fully know who you are, fully know you. And that to make a statement and say, all things are yours. All things. Not part. All things are yours. Why? Because you established us. You anointed us. You sealed us. You gave us the Holy Spirit. And now you're just bragging on us. And our one criteria is just trust you. One criteria. Trust Jesus. Trust God. And we're like the Apostle Paul. Oh, gosh. I decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Dear God, we thank you. We thank you and love you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All God's people said amen. Okay, we're not going to have a closing song. They tried to get me to do a solo. I refused. And then you would find you'd really question this thing, said, not all things are mine. Singing definitely wouldn't be mine. Yes, sir. All right. Please go ahead, stand. There's some refreshments in the back.